Time to welcome into the studio. I should say welcome back into the studio, but it's been
a hot minute.
Yeah, at least half a decade.
Something like that.
Because you've been...
In pandemic terms? Oh, it's more than that.
Well, everything's more than that with pandemic. Jeremy White's in the house. What's happening, brother? How you been?
Everything. We've got a book out, man.
I know.
Which it's crazy.
I'm so glad this is finally out.
Yeah.
Because you have been down the deepest of rabbit holes writing this thing.
Yeah.
It's glad to see it come to fruition and glad to see the response response has been. So before we dive into all the why, let's start with the response.
Sure.
How has this been taken?
It's been fantastic. You know, we've had a couple of big media appearances here. A month ago, Greg Merriweather, Channel 9, aired his interview with us, and he did a fantastic job putting that thing together. Edie actually sent him a thank you message that night. And then this past Sunday, The Advocate ran an article, and a day or two later, the hardcover on Amazon was out of stock. So we've cornered the market. If you want a hardcover edition, come on out to Red Stick Reads tonight. We're going to have a load of people there tonight. 541 South Eugene. It's basically Government Street across the street from Baton Rouge High. It's right behind the Domino's Pizza. So,
I know where that's at.
You know exactly where that's at. Yeah.
Well, it's because it's on the way to SJA where Carrie goes to school now.
Yeah. But it's a great little spot right there. The Highfields have done a great job with it. And we're excited because we're going to be bringing a lot of folks there tonight. And again, you're not going to get a hardcover from Jeff Bezos anytime soon, apparently. So they're too busy printing them. But we also have ebooks, but you can't sign an ebook. I'll be there signing hardcovers tonight, though.
So the book is called The Little Girl at the Bottom of the Picture.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into let's dive into why and what the book is about.
So my wife Edie was adopted at birth, raised in the town of Marion, Gwynn, Louisiana. Never had any curiosity or need to know about her birth parents. She was always fine. She was well-loved. She was a loving family growing up, and she always said she was wanting to keep herself from reopening an old wound. You know, she didn't want to just bust into somebody's life like the Kool-Aid man and say, here I am, and then just, you know, get embroiled in a bunch of people's drama or causing a bunch of drama, because that's what you really run the risk of doing when you submit a DNA sample out there and you know that you're going to discover some family you've never met before. There's a good risk of that. So she, if you ask her, she was just putting herself out there, because on Christmas evening of 2017, she was listening to her older brother, who was also adopted. They're not biologically related, but they were close in age, the closest of the siblings in age. And so the two of them being adopted, they grew close, Edie and Patrick. So Patrick's talking about his DNA discovery is very meager after a year of submitting, of submitting his DNA. He found maybe a second cousin who made artisan soap in New Orleans. And so Edie's like, you know, maybe, you know, I've been saying I want to keep from opening an old wound. Maybe I'm keeping that wound from healing in the first place by keeping to myself. So if you ask her, she was just putting herself out there. That's all she did. And then she gets sucker punched at work by the Ancestry app with news that John Hart is her father.
Mm-hmm.
And then that raises a bunch of questions in John Hart's mind, because he doesn't remember. He's glad, he's joyful that Edie's been added to his life and their family, but he, like, a lot of questions, like, oh, I have no idea how you came about,
right?
Because he's a very traumatized man. He's a beautiful man. He's a beautiful soul, and there will be books written about John Hart, but he's got a lot of damage as far as like memory timeline detail. He's great. It's incredible the level of detail and recall he's got, but the timeline is fractured all to hell. So, it just goes from there. I spent some time decoding him. Edie figures him out on her own rather than employing the services of her new baby brother in Renton, Washington, her half-brother, Justin, who's just a fantastic human being. Chapter 5 is called The Ideal Emissary. That's named after him.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it's a very beautiful story. It's a unicorn of a story because... in doing research for this, you do what they do, what you call comp title research. Like a real estate agent researches all the houses in the area before they sell it. Same thing with a book. You want to know what's on the shelves. You're coming out with something. How do you compare it to the books that are going to be hypothetically around you on the bookshelf?
Mm-hmm.
And so you learn about other memoirs of this sort. And many of them none of them have happy endings. It's a lot of angst, and it makes sense. I mean, you're going and finding lost family, and people don't give up their children because everything is going great in their life.
Sure. Yeah. So, no. Yeah. That which can open up so many more chapters that are greater than just, mm-hmm. hey, here's a recounting of Edie's story as she's walked through this.
Precisely.
It takes so much more than that to mm-hmm. fill in all those nooks and crannies.
Right, right. And that's one of the things that we're getting as far as reaction is people who have already read it, they're coming back and saying, this is going to start so many conversations
mm-hmm.
that need to be had and have topics brought up that maybe some people aren't comfortable talking about. Or maybe you've got people out there who are adopted and want to find or have found their biological family. Maybe their adopted family maybe is a little resentful about it. Or it's tricky. Human beings are complicated. We do and say things we don't necessarily want to do and say, but it's hardwired, evolutionary hardwiring mm-hmm. in our DNA. And you have moments that you're not proud of because of that. And, you know, this issue right here can really, you know, get in there and get into that deep, deep, deep humanity of ours that we sometimes don't like to explore.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that's what this is right here.
Let's push pause on that because I have to ask, like, not as just the author, but you're also her husband. Like, how did you handle that where mm-hmm. you would find the unpleasantness and know this is not just the subject of my book, this is my bride?
Right.
Like, that is something that a lot of authors don't have to walk. You don't have to worry about somebody else's feelings. You don't have to sleep next to the person.
It was crazy. It was crazy because this is an event. This is something that I lived with my wife, and I thought I had an idea of what it was all about. But mm-hmm. then I got into all of the source material. I curated it. It took me well over a month just to curate all the emails, text messages, Facebook threads, just insane amounts of source material. And it was when I got into that, that's when I started to lose my mind and realize, holy crap, I've got something here, I think. And I'm not about to bug my wife about it because she's lived it and still dealing with all of this. So I don't know if you know Leanne Weil, but I had lunch with her and when I first started working on the first draft. And I said, Leanne, I got to go to lunch with you. You got to tell me if I'm insane to think I've got something really big here. So we sit down for lunch, and I tell her everything. About 2.5 hours later, she finally picks her jaw up off the ground, and she says, you do not have a book, my friend. You have a series of books.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I was getting into all of that stuff, and it was really wild because all that source material gave me sort of a peephole into Edie's point of view along the way. So as I'm going through the source material, I can remember what I saw and what I experienced, what I thought along the way, but then I'm reading and I've got to peephole into her brain and what she's thinking and what she's feeling along the way. And it really, really forced me to empathize with my wife. It's like that Running Up the Hill song by Kate Bush. It's about that empathetic swapping of perspectives, that mm-hmm. immersive, an opportunity to immersively see things and feel things from your partner's standpoint. And that's what this was right here. So yeah, it was really wild. And there's a lot of stuff in here. There's not a lot of dark in here. There are some dark moments, but it's really light and a lot of happy endings. But there are a couple of dark moments here and there, and one of them is chapter 11. And I don't want to give too much away, but there's a lot of LSU history in here. You probably know about the David Duke incident at Free Speech Alley.
I did not.
So David Duke plays a part in this. There are two books about David Duke in which Edie's birth father is cited. There's an event that happened in 1969 at LSU.
Okay.
Free Speech Alley. David Duke shows up, starts spouting all of his crap. An African-American student named Carl Tickles grabs a knife from someone in the crowd, cuts his finger, shows he's bleeding red, challenges David Duke to do the same. Duke refuses, spouts a bunch of bull. That's when a white student, John Hart, reaches out, grabs the knife, cuts his finger, grabs Carl Tickle's cut finger, squeezes it, and they start mingling blood. White man and a black man.
Okay.
In Baton Rouge in 1969 in front of David Duke. And that might be one of the top 10 most interesting things about John Hart.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so the fact that it might be, and
it might be one of the top 10.
It's not guaranteed top five. It might be top 10.
It might be top 10.
Okay.
Yeah. So chapter 11, the namesake is a guy named Gus Tabony. He is still alive as far as we know. I think he may be incarcerated in Central America. Don't hold me to it. He is the namesake of chapter 11. He was impeached in 1974 from LSU student government. He was the vice president of finances in 1974. He was impeached because he was employed for the intelligence division of Baton Rouge Police. He was a narc. and to this day, he still haunts the nightmares of Edie's biological father.
Oh, we've got about 2.5 minutes left.
We haven't even gotten to the titular mystery yet. What's this picture on the cover?
Right.
The little girl.
Yeah.
So this photo was taken in 1952 on a porch in East Chicago on Mother's Day of all days.
Okay.
East Chicago, Indiana.
Yeah.
Part of the Metroplex. And you have a patriarch and a matriarch here in the middle of the photo,
mm-hmm.
right there. And they're surrounded by their family. So the matriarch and patriarch met on the boat coming from the Ukraine in the early 20th century. And this represents the family that they had by 1952. There was more that come later. But this photo in particular is infamous in this family, or was for 65 years. Because not long after this photo was taken, someone in the photo took the little girl at the bottom of the picture out of the picture, so to speak. And for 65 years, this enthusiastic, gangster-adjacent Ukrainian-American family near Chicago had no idea what happened to that little girl at the bottom of the picture. Had no idea where she went, where she was, what happened to their little cousin, their niece, daughter, granddaughter. No idea. People went to their graves. Most of the people in here went to their graves not knowing what happened to that little girl at the bottom of the picture. There are a few women who are still alive, pictured as preteens sitting on the steps here. Mm-hmm. They're in their 80s today.
Wow.
And they just, for 65 years.
Incredible.
No idea.
And well, that's where we're going to have to leave it. So
yeah.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Go grab the book.
Red Stick Reads, 541 South Eugene, tonight, 6:30. We'll be there signing copies.
He is Jeremy White. Man, I can't tell you. Like, I'm proud of you, bro.
Thank you, man.
This is fantastic work, and I can't wait to dig in on it myself.
Thank you.
Red Stick Reads tonight off of Eugene. Jeremy White, thank you for the time.
Appreciate it.